Just an incredible, incredible time. You know, one of the things I love about the Gospels is that all of them tell us the truth, but all of them tell us the truth from different perspectives. So that as you read through the Gospels, you find how each of these apostles kind of saw events that were taking place according to the way the Lord was speaking to them. And I think about that because I'm thinking about the Gospel of John and how John talks about the Easter story. When John talks about the Easter story, this is what he reveals. He reveals that Mary Magdalene came and found the empty tomb. And she and the others ran to Peter and to John and told them what had happened. And the two of them ran and made their way to the grave. And they found the grave clothes lying. And they found the napkin that had covered his face folded and set to the side. And they went away. And after they left, then Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene in the garden. John also is the one who tells us the story of what happened on the evening of the day of resurrection. How the apostles were gathered in an upper room, and suddenly the Lord appeared right in their midst, and he showed them his hands and his side. He gave them a new commission. He said, "Peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Receive the Holy Spirit, and if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Third day since they had abandoned the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had died on the cross and was abandoned by all of them but one. The rest were as far from Calvary as they could possibly get. They had abandoned the Lord, but he had not abandoned them. And the risen Savior came to them where they were, and he delivered that message they desperately needed to hear. "I am not finished with you. I still have a plan for your life. No matter how far you have fallen, and no matter how much you have failed, when I was crucified, I still have a plan for your life." And that first encounter with the risen Christ gave them a new reason for hope. And we know the story, how soon they would encounter the empowering of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But between that time when he appeared to them in the upper room and Pentecost, John is the one who tells us that other story that none of the others reveal. That encounter with Jesus that was life-changing for those men. And there's so much we could learn together from that passage we read together just a few moments ago. But this morning, I want to narrow the focus to what Jesus was accomplishing in the lives of those men. Those men who had reached the end of their rope, who had gathered together because they didn't have anywhere else to go. Spiritually and emotionally and physically, these men were completely depleted. They were altogether used up. Can you imagine what these days had been? How they lived with the failure when Jesus needed them the most, how they grieved over the way they had acted, how they were not sure what God had in mind next. And in the midst of it all, these were men who were completely, absolutely worn out. They were so far from ready to receive the challenge that the Lord would put in front of them. They were not ready for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. They needed restoration. These men needed a renewal that could only come from the Lord. They needed God to do in their lives what only God could do. And it makes me wonder this morning, have you ever found yourself where those disciples were? Have you ever found yourself at a point where you're just absolutely exhausted. Mentally, physically, spiritually worn out and used up, discouraged, uncertain, not sure where to turn, believing in the reality of God's grace, but desperately needing Him to touch you in a fresh, new way. It may be that this morning you're here, and that may be exactly where you find yourself today. Today, the truth may be that some of you got up this morning and you thought, I'm just not sure I can even get up and get ready for church. I am so tired. I am so discouraged. I am so worn out. Life has been tough lately, and I'm not sure where to turn to get a little bit of renewal. Maybe today you need exactly what the Lord had planned for those disciples on that particular day. It began in the most unusual way. Peter turned to the other disciples in the upper room and he declared, I'm going fishing. That doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? It doesn't sound very spiritual to recognize, here is Peter, the one who said, I will never deny you, and then he did. And Jesus had died, and things had happened, and Christ had risen from the dead, and he had appeared to his disciples, and now another day had come, and Peter looks around at the others, and he says, I'm going fishing. That doesn't seem spiritual to me at all, but neither does the response that they gave to him, because they said, we're going with you. I'm going fishing. We're going too. What in the world are these men thinking? How could anyone have experienced all they had been through and still be thinking about something that ordinary? It seems so mundane for them to leave the upper room to make their way back to the fishing boats that they had lived in for years before they met the Lord. What we need to know is this, but the Lord was preparing them for something very special. He was going to do restoring work in their souls. He knew they were wounded. He knew they needed a new touch. He knew that He could do what only they needed. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes. I want to talk about how the Lord walked them through a whole process of restoring and renewing and repairing their souls. It may even be He'll have something to say to you. When I look at this passage, I recognize that spiritual restoration requires time for genuine rest. There are times when there's nothing you need more than the restoring power of rest in your life. Were the disciples doing the right thing when they went to the sea? Were they disobeying Christ by leaving the upper room? Were they abandoning their calling and just going back to who they used to be before they met Jesus? I don't think that's what's going on at all. I think that the stress and the sense of failure that they had experienced had completely defeated these men. They were depleted. And they needed just a chance for a little bit of restoration in their life. They had struggled with real sin and real grief. Their sense of failure had been so complete, they needed the relief of rest, and for them, that would be found at the water's edge. So Peter looked to the others and he said, I'm going fishing. What he was really saying is this, I just need to step aside for a moment. I got to find myself again. I got to find new strength. I need restoration. I need rest. Rest. We all need it. We need it on a regular basis. Now understand something. When I talk about rest, I'm not talking about inactivity. What I'm talking about is making time for God to repair your soul. Rest that restores requires you to step aside and be still long enough for God to do His work in you. Restoration requires rest, and rest means stepping back and letting God do what only God can do. It means allowing other things to pass to the side, setting other distractions away from yourself in order to hear what God is trying to say to you. Sometimes you just need to step aside and find a way to rest. I want you to understand, rest is not something that's easy for me to talk about. In fact, it's easier for me to talk about it than it is to practice. I am not a good resting person by nature. I tend to fill up my days. I love what God has called me to do. I look forward to the privileges and the challenges that come from being a pastor. We took Good Friday off last week, and I sat at my house and I thought, I just need to get out and do something. I need to be back in my office. I need to be working. But over the years, I've also learned a critical lesson. You see, there have been seasons in my life when I have felt the heaviness of being spiritually depleted. I've had those experiences of struggles and times of discouragement and seasons when I felt like I was a million miles away from the Lord. And I can confess that because I bet you've been there too. Those times when it just seems as though you've reached the last inch of your spiritual and emotional and personal energy. Seasons of discouragement. Times when you feel as though I just can't see where God is in the midst of all of this. I've been through those seasons, but this is what it took me years to realize. Most of the time, when I've gone through those kinds of spiritual struggles, it was not because I had allowed sin and temptation to find a place in my life, nor were they times when I neglected to spend time in prayer or to spend time with God in His Word. Usually, those times when I felt so depleted were seasons after there'd been a lot of demands upon my time and my soul and my emotional energy, and I had been so invested in doing what God had called me to do and reaching out to other people and being there when I needed to be there. And eventually, I just reached that point where I hit the wall physically. And I had to learn the hard way that it was not going to get better till I made time to stop and let my body and my soul renew themselves. That sometimes the answer to struggle and discouragement and difficulty is not to just keep plowing through. Sometimes the answer is step back and rest. Just like those disciples needed to do. That's why you've heard me talk about how important my porch is in my life. You know, my porch is my holy place. That's where I go to find the Lord. Because that's my place where I can sit back and rest and let my body renew. That's why sometimes the most spiritual thing I can do is stop everything else and cut my grass. It just makes me feel better. And all of us are that way. Now, we find different ways and places and opportunities for genuine rest. Some people find rest sitting in a deer stand. Some people find rest spending time with friends or reading a good book or spending time on a golf course or whatever it takes to give you that moment where you just step aside and put everything else out of your mind so God can do renewing work in your life. And you can't do those things and say to yourself, I'm just not being very spiritual right now. Sometimes it's the most spiritual thing you can do. Now, understand, that doesn't mean I'm telling you. So at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, if I find myself on the 10th hole of a golf course, I'm doing what God wants me to do. No. I remember a friend of mine one time talking about visiting with a guy that had been a member of the church, but he just kind of never showed up, and he was talking to him about it, and the man said to him, "Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, preacher. I feel like I can be just as close to God on my fishing boat on Sunday morning than I can sitting in your church." And my friend asked him the question, "Preacher, I can worship God just as well sitting on my boat on Sunday morning as I can in your church." To which my friend replied, "Well, do you?" That's difficult. But all of us have those things. And you know what it is in your own life that gives you a chance to rest, to find renewal. Rest comes from finding yourself in a place where your body and soul can step aside and listen to God. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to forget how much we need rest in a world that is so busy with technology that follows you everywhere you go. Sometimes we have to be careful, or we can demonstrate that we have forgotten a basic truth that people have known for thousands of years. And it is this: unless the bow is periodically unstrung, it will lose its resilience and become ineffective. Unless there are those times when you step back, then you're not going to be ready for God to use you the way He wants to use you. And so these men made their way to the boats, and they went out fishing. I have a pretty good idea that they didn't care whether they caught anything or not. They just needed that chance in the midst of grief and loss and hurt and guilt to begin to regain their balance so God could go to work in their lives. This story also reminds me that spiritual restoration requires you to return to your roots. That we need to remember who we are in those times when we feel so depleted. It's important to recognize the moment the disciples realized Jesus was with them. They had seen a man on the shore, but they didn't know who it was. After all, who looks for the risen Son of God walking on the beach? Nor did it help when he asked the first question, because basically the first question is, "Are you catching any fish?" But then the moment came when he gave them some special instructions. He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And John says, as soon as that happened, John turned to Peter and he declared, "It is the Lord." What had happened carried John back to the very beginning of his time with the Master. When he had first gotten to know Jesus and begun to follow him as his Lord. When they first met the Lord, he had performed exactly that same kind of miracle. You remember? They were out in their boats. They couldn't catch a thing. And all of a sudden, when Jesus told them where to cast their nets, their boats began to sink at the huge amount of fish that they were able to catch. John remembered what Jesus had told them when they came to shore. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And that call had changed everything. And all that had happened since then could be traced to that moment when they heard the call to follow Jesus. And this is what I think was going on that day. I think by performing that same miracle, Jesus was calling them back to their spiritual roots. He was calling them back to remember this is what it was like at the very beginning. This is what it was like when we first began to know one another, and you chose to follow me, and you heard my call, and you walked with me for those years before the failure and the cross. Sometimes that's what the Lord does with us. He takes you back to a time when you knew He was there and you experienced Him in ways you had never experienced Him before. Maybe when He saved you. Maybe one of those times when He stepped into your plans and changed your life completely. Maybe one of those times when He met your needs in ways that you never could have expected. It's those times when you recognize the Lord is there. The Lord is there for me. And you will be restored when you draw strength for the future from the experience you had with Christ in the past. And that's exactly what the Lord does sometimes. He just needs to call you back to your spiritual roots. He needs to call you back to the beginning. Remind you of what it was like when you first got to know Him. Or when He calls you back to one of those times when beyond the shadow of a doubt, you knew the Lord is with me. He may call you back to the roots of some of those times when you felt as though you had reached the end of your rope and suddenly God intervened. And He touched you. And He let you know you are not alone. God calls us back to our roots so that we can claim our future. Frederick Buechner expressed it this way. He said, we need nails on which to hang our faith. Does that make sense to you? We need nails on which to hang our faith. We need those places where we drove a nail in, and that's where God stepped in, and we knew He was there. And sometimes you need to go back to where those nails are because you can hang your faith on it in difficult times. And know that the one who has been faithful before will be faithful again. And every memory of what God has done for you is a nail, a memory, where you can hang your faith. They call you back to your roots. But the Lord was not finished yet. He had given them rest and He had reminded them of His faithfulness. Spiritual restoration also comes from a fresh call. By the time they got to shore, Jesus had started a fire and prepared breakfast for them all. He said, come over here and sit with me and let's enjoy a meal and fellowship together. I've often wondered what was going on through Peter's mind while they were sharing that breakfast together. When he first realized it was Jesus, you remember, he couldn't wait to get for it to him. He wouldn't wait for the boat. He jumped into the sea and he swam all the way to shore. He was so eager to be with Jesus. To be with Him in a setting that felt like this is the way things used to be. But as the morning passed by, Peter realized things could never be the same again. He had that growing sense of shame and sorrow as he remembered how deeply he had failed and how he had denied the Lord, not once or twice, but three times. How could Jesus ever forgive him for something like that? How could he ever find comfort in being in Christ's presence again? And that sense of apprehension doubled when, as the meal began to wind down, Jesus looked across the fire at him and he said, Peter, take a walk with me. Can you imagine what he was thinking about? It was all he could do to get up and follow where Jesus led. But it was during that walk that a life-changing conversation took place. You remember, Three times Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter confessed, Lord, you know I do. And three times Jesus challenged him, feed my sheep. What was the Lord doing? He was letting Peter know that he had not withdrawn his call on Peter's life. Peter, who was so sure, Jesus is so disappointed in me, I have failed him so deeply, there's no way that I have a future with the Lord, was suddenly discovering he still has a plan for my life. He hasn't given up on me. There's a future beyond my failure. Years before, Jesus had changed his name from Simon to Peter. You remember that? The rock. It had become a point of pride for Peter that he was the one Jesus could always depend upon. Peter had been so sure that he would follow Jesus all the way to death if that's what was required. And then he had failed. And that arrogant pride was gone. The braggart in Peter had died on the night the rooster crowed. But there on the side of the seashore, Peter discovered something incredible. Jesus still loved him. Not only that, Christ still wanted to use him. He restored his hope. And this is the lesson that all of us need to learn. You don't have to be good enough to follow Christ. You don't have to be strong enough for him to want to use you. Instead, you have to remember how much you need him. And then you're ready for a fresh new call. Peter left that time on the Sea of Galilee as a completely new man. That defeated, discouraged, broken, depleted man became the leader of the church. In the years to come, God would use him in ways he could never have imagined. He would touch lives that he could not have dreamed he would ever have the opportunity to touch. And yes, the day would come when he too would be crucified for the sake of the name of Jesus. And he could do it all because he recognized God has a new plan for my life. And God has a new plan for your life and for my life and for all of us. And there never is that time when because we have failed or because we have fallen or because we're depleted or because we're used up, he can't renew us and restore us and repair us and recall us to serve him and follow him. And that's what it means to be restored. So here's the question. So where do you find yourself this morning? Maybe you're here and you're weary in well-doing. Maybe the truth is you've pushed beyond the time when you needed to stop and let God do renewing work in your life. Maybe you've become discouraged by the number of times when you feel like, I just failed. Maybe you need to hear a fresh new call from the Lord. Today, if you hear him, that's his plan for your life. The same thing that he did for those apostles on the side of the shore is the same thing that he wants to do in your life and my life today. He wants to restore us and renew us and repair us and recall us. And all we have to do is let him do what only he can do. So where do you need a touch from the Lord today? Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. You don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you sure know you need one. And in a moment when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, it may be that you need to come here and I'll be here to meet you. And I would be more than glad to introduce you to the living Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, you know what, if God's going to do what God wants to do in my life, one of the things He wants me to do is become part of this church. More than just to attend, to become a part, to join this church and bring your membership to this place where you can serve God and God can serve you. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, here's the place where I just need somebody to pray with me. This is that place where I truly need a touch of renewal. And maybe you need to come and just say, pray with me, pray for me. This is what God is doing in my life. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing. God's Holy Spirit's going to move. You come. Let's stand together.